Oh, maybe you can do it.
Murder. Rand Paul.
Valerie Bailey, yes. Mary Lou Bosch, here. Nate,
Here.
Vicky,
Yes.
Lester,
Yes.
Bob,
Yeah.
Gary,
Yes.
Kathy,
Yes.
Lori,
Here. Yes.
and Mr. Mark.
Here.
Okay, certification with open meeting law.
Yes, it was sent to the newspaper and posted.
Okay, everybody approve, I need a motion approval of the agenda.
So move.
I'll second it.
Motion made second for approval of the agenda. All in favor, say aye. Opposing. Okay, I need a motion for approval of minutes.
I have a correction on the second back page. Under family care contract, it has Valerie Hirsch.
Valerie Hirsch.
Thing is, when I was little, my nickname was Vicky, so.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's the only thing I've seen that was changed. So we put it ahead.
Well, now that'll probably confuse me more, Valerie. I'll start calling you Vicky.
With that change, I still need approval.
I'll make a motion to approve it. I'll say.
Motion made second for approval of minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, embassy reports, / activities. Coming events.
All right, we've got upcoming events. I'll pass those around. We've got a lot coming up in May. May is Older Americans Act month. So we've got several events in honor of that going on around the county. So you could take a look at those. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's all I have on that, really. We'll pass that around. And if you want a copy, I'll be happy to give you a copy. Kathy, you can take that copy if you want, and I'll get anybody else another one. Want me to go on to advocacy, Gary?
Yeah.
All right.
You would.
All right. Just a few things with the advocacy. I just got something from Meals on Wheels America the other day. They're asking for an increase in the nutrition program in fiscal year 27. Specifically, the ask is for a lot more money in home delivered services and then some in congregate as well. That's where our funding has always been lopsided. We have more funding for congregate than home delivered. So that would be a good thing. If we could get more money in that. And then I'll pass this around too. You can look at it. Interesting enough, where can I find the number? Bill. There was a bill passed by the assembly. It was headed to the Senate. I didn't check it this morning to see. It was on curbing the crypto kiosk scams. You're probably familiar with those, having been sheriff.
Well, actually, I had a conversation with a lady in town a couple weeks ago. And her daughter was concerned about her being scammed. It was crypto stuff. So I sat and talked with her about it and hopefully convinced her that, you know, it was not, because she was dead set that this was, I was going to make this money and these guys promised this and all this. So it's going around.
This says in 2024, Wisconsin residents reported a total of 53,520 fraud reports with a financial loss of $106 million. Fraud victims are disproportionately adults age 60 and older. As of early 2026, there are over 700 of these kiosks, these crypto kiosks, in Wisconsin gas stations, convenience stores, and grocery stores. Unlike traditional ATMs, these machines are used to deposit physical cash and convert it to digital currency. Investigations have shown that for certain kiosk operators, over 90% of transactions are linked to fraudulent activity. And once they kind of get there, they can't really be traced much, is
right.
What I understand. So so they were trying to do some legislation would ensure that kiosk operators collect the data law enforcement officers need to help scam victims and allow victims to get refunds.
So they're not illegal to have the machine on premise.
Apparently not.
The bill would pass, yes.
It did get passed. They fairly confident when I put that in there that it would. So that's good. Yeah, and you know, we tell people over and over, gift cards and crypto do not fall for that, but I, you know, people just want to be able to do that. The other thing I mentioned, and I don't think I had the numbers for you, on our state awards for advocacy, we did lose, we just got our new aging awards. They always come, you know, after the first of the year. Yes, it's great. Sometimes it's April, so this is a little earlier. But we lost $37,392 with our new aging contracts. $27,000 approximately was in congregate nutrition. So that won't be good news. At a time when I think our contributions will be down anyway, even though we raised the limit, I think they'll be down because of the economy. So, so overall, the rest of them, that was the main hit. And then the rest of them took 2,000-3,000 in the rest of the areas. So, wasn't great news. And that was just simply because they had done a new formula. They knew last year, apparently, that several of the counties were going to take some bigger hits. But they left it alone last year and implemented it this year. And apparently we were one of them. So, I mean, in the scheme of things, $37,000 doesn't sound a lot. But with our aging funds, it is. So when you consider what we get, you know, so we went from, with congregate, we went from 129,000, or what, I'm sorry, $157,028 to $129,403. Not great. So again, as you talk to the legislators, tell them we need money for that, because it's definitely important. The next two advocacy things as well, disability advocacy day is coming up. Aging Advocacy Day is not going to be an in-person event this year. It's going to be an online event. All as I know is the date, and it's the day of action, but I don't have an agenda or anything yet, so I will share that as I get that. But it will be online entirely this year, so which is unusual, because that's usually an in-person event, so I'm not sure what the rationale was on that. So that's all I have on advocacy.
Disability.
Yep, I've done the next two. So.
Okay, then we'll go to transportation.
Yes, so I did provide you with some quotes because we do have money in the vehicle trust and we do need to get a new vehicle. It was in our plan and I didn't get it out of last year, so we do need to get it out. We looked at, I was telling you, I think last month I was looking at the transit van with the shift step versus the minivan with the other lift. Then I finally connected with John, our taxi driver, extensively, who pointed out the error in my ways on the lifts. So he is much more in favor of the minivan, at least for the taxi. We got some video on the shift and step, which is, I still think, a really cool feature, and I really like it, but probably more appropriate for something that is less on and off than he does all day. He did talk about the difference between the bus, which the transit has more of a bus lift in it than the minivan does, and the speed of it all, and the fact that the kneeler is better for him because he can actually lower it on the sidewalk. He had several rationale things that convinced me that he probably knows a little more than I do, since he does that all day and I ride with him once a year. My recommendation, his recommendation, would be to go ahead with the minivan versus the transit van. And I will concur that he's probably right.
Got a total price of that, Lori?
Yeah, that one is on. It is the quote with the 2025 Chrysler Voyager.
Okay,
And I believe, so if you, wait, let me make sure I got that right. Right.
81,000.
Yes, the 81,407. Now, we still, I need approval. I need you guys to act on that. And then if you approve it, then we also need DOT approval before we can get that. It is in our trust fund plan, so they do know it's coming. And that price is based off the state contract. So what we do, when even with the trust fund, we still go through the state procurement for these vans. And then it's just an easier process because otherwise we have to do our own procurement process. So this way the state guides us through it very nicely. So
I'll make a motion that we accept the quote for the 2025 Chrysler Voyager and move it on to the state for their approval.
I'll second.
Okay, the motion and second to approve the.
Who do you want to take for the second?
I do.
Jansen.
Then all in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Which one was it? Because I
the
thought
Voyager.
You seconded.
Lesterhead. Oh,
Lesterhead?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to ask a question because Orchard Manor is looking at potentially getting a van as well. So in these quotes, the second part, there's $12,000 for the shifting
that
step.
The shifting
so
step.
That goes on the transit one?
Yes.
Okay.
So that would be an additional on top of the 83.
Yes.
Because
so,
yes. You talked about
that's
that
an
one.
Add-on.
You talked about that one being about 95. So,
yes.
Okay. That makes
yes.
sense. All right. I was just going to send these to her so she had an idea.
And
so
depending on what plays out with the wheelchair van, our wheelchair van isn't getting as much use as it used to. So we've been putting that out there, whether we want to continue doing that or maybe just having it. The taxi can only be in cities of a certain population. So that's why it's not in other areas. But a taxi-like vehicle could be, and that could be the transit van. I might still get the transit van out of this yet. But
like Nate just said, I think Orchard Manor is looking for.
Yeah, that. And I have shared that with her. We talked about that as well. If we would get the problem with Orchard Manor, and I let them know that when we went to do it, was that our trust fund holds up they're getting a grant.
Correct.
For the bus.
Yeah.
So we have to get it spent. So I have it in the trust fund plan, you know, two vehicles, because we have to get it now. Right now I'm sitting.
And that's outside of the capital improvements.
It's, yeah, well, I put it in the capital improvements, but I always list it as funded by the trust fund. So it's not, it doesn't generate any county levy. You've already put the levy into it when we have the grants.
No, I get it.
So yeah. Yeah, it might be. I mean, I've been willing to talk to them about possible use of a shared vehicle too in the future. So we can discuss that again. So all right. So we will have another one coming, but we're going to kind of play that out. And that might be towards the end of the year, first of next year, because I'm going to get a little bit of pressure from DOT to get that spent out. I had intended last year to get it earlier in last year. And then with the ADRC stuff, I just didn't do it. So I kind of put it on hold. And we didn't have that many miles on there. Now it's to the point where, unfortunately, those minivans with those lifts are not, they just don't last like a regular minivan does, I don't think, but they're good for about 5 years and not much more after that. So we'll get that process going. I don't expect that I'll have any problem with DOT, especially since we're using their procurement in the state rate. So we shouldn't have any problems with that. So, okay. Moving on to vouchers. Any questions on that?
My question before the meeting had it answered, so I'll make a motion to accept the vouchers.
Okay, I'll second it.
Got a motion and a second for approval of the vouchers. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say. Okay, 25 EOI financial report.
All right, this is where we're sitting, the end of the year report. So we aren't doing too bad. Didn't do very good on committee expenses, but the rest of them don't look too bad. Under support services, we've got some money left. Part of that was we had some wages for Bullmeister in there, and she left in January. So I was able to save some money there. Actually, I was able to save enough money that I was able to move some of my wages over there. Because mine can go for nutrition or in that category for the same. So it actually worked out. So in congregate, again, did pretty well there. Home delivered, we did have a fair amount in home delivered, which surprised me, but I think I budgeted when looking at it, we had a fair amount, we had less family care meals. So that's gonna play into that. I moved some of my wages over to support services, so that played into it, and then we had less paper supply costs than needed. Well, that was good news for 25. I don't suspect that's going to be good news for 26, so be prepared, because when those shipping routes don't go, the paper prices tend to go up, and we still use a fair amount of paper products. So yeah, I'm kind of holding my breath on that. Health promotions, that's just one of those grants that we find it difficult to spend out. If you look at that, there is still an error in here. So that $11,000, I have talked to Angie and Cody about that. There was, the auditors coded some revenues or something. I can't even remember how it went. They coded it wrong. So it's showing up as a weird revenue in here. So that has to be fixed. So that's not right. The year-to-date actual expenses are $29.88. We have about $52 in there. So normally for revenue. So benefit specialist, again, she time reported really well. So we saved some money there. When they time report well, it saves saves us money on levy because we get more of that covered by Medicaid. The bus. Again, I budget for ideally if we had no snow days and nobody got sick. So that was not the case this year. So I always put some extra in there. Specialized wheelchair van has really decreased. We typically have one or two real regulars on that, and due to some, I think, illnesses and different things going on, that dropped off a lot in the last year. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. Taxi, we had some decreased benefits in insurance, so that saved us some money as well. Trips was about right. Family care giver, all the rest are kind of right in there. ADRC, again, we time reported really, really well. That's always good. Bullmeister wages came out of there in January. We had some open time in there. So that would account for some of that wages. And again, I was able to shift some around. We hired a coordinator at a lower wage than what was in there when we did that restructure. So that saved us some money as well. So I think we'll be good. Any questions on that? Okay.
That doesn't need to move unless you want to move. Okay. That's okay. We'll move their financial report.
Right. So we are, this report is through the end of February, so we should be at about what I figured 16.66%. So you know how I love this report. I don't like this report. So, but this is the report that we're using throughout the county. So I have to go and make my own notes. So just very quickly, if you look at support services, when you, I like to look at just expenses at this time of year and know where I'm at, because if you factor in, some of our revenues come real fast and look great, and some of our revenues don't come till next year. So support services, we're sitting at about 13.5% for expenses. So we're good there. And if you have questions as I go along, just shout them out, please. Congregate, we're at 13.4%. So again, we're sitting okay. Home delivered, we're at 10.6%. So a little less, and probably that's due to less family care meals again. Health promotion, we haven't even started anything there. So we're literally like at 0.3%. We do have some things scheduled for health promotion coming up, but not for a while. Benefit specialists, we're at 15.3%, still under. Bus, we're at 10.9%. Okay, and we have a snow day or two already. Specialized, special transportation, we're at 7.2. Taxi, we're at 13.6. Trips, we're at 10.1. Family caregiver for 3.2. Again, respite takes up the most of that budget, so it takes a while before we start seeing the expenses in there. And Alzheimer's family care, we're at 6.4, same thing there. And ADRC, we're at 12.6. Overall, we're about 11.8, so we're down. We're under budget a little, yeah. If you've got any specific questions on those, I'll be happy to answer those. But I like to know where we're sitting, so that report doesn't tell it to me the way I like it to. So,
report. Did you ever see direct?
Oh, I do need approval on
oh,
that.
Oh, you need approval?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, in a second.
I'll second.
Motion made in a second. The reports, all in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed?
All right.
Okay. Now your ADR director's report.
These are just speeding through this agenda on me. Oh, I do have something I do want to share before I forget.
Okay.
It can be part of my report. We got a note, and it says, just a note of thank you to all the caring people who sent me 2 days worth of meals. I really appreciated it. It's very hard, especially for me, as I'm not very mobile. The ice and snow is especially scary for senior citizens. We do not fall. We dare not fall, as it could result in a fractured bone. It was a good selection of food items. I was able to use it a number of days. It makes me proud that our area young people take an active issue in their community and fellow citizens. Thank you again. Keep up the good work. Good work never goes unnoticed. Oh, so that was nice. So they were appreciated, and that's great. And I'll share that. We'll share that with the, I think Courtney already did, with the 4-H club. That helped as well. Mm-hmm. So very nice. And that is what we do it for. So it's been busy first quarter as we're getting through learning all the things we didn't know the regional office did. So I feel a little scattered, and Courtney and I are wearing a lot of hats these days. We are, I feel some days like we're not wearing our leader hats very well because we're trying to do a lot of finance and personnel and other stuff. But hoping once we get through 6 months of this budget, we'll have a better idea of where we're sitting with expenses and things like that. And maybe then we'll know if we can hire some additional admin or share some with somebody or something, because we do need to do that. I am spending a lot of time doing financial stuff, which is fine. I don't mind doing that. I like to do that because I like numbers, but I do feel like it's a little off. But we're getting through it, and we'll continue to get through it. So we're meeting regularly with our regional quality specialist for ADRC to stay in, you know, in the loop of what we need to be doing. Because again, you just counted on things to be done by the region. You don't really necessarily think of it. We just came up yesterday. We were doing the news and views. It's escaped all of us. We've already done one, and somebody said, we still have the old logo on that. I'm like, yep, we do. So, and I'm like, and it's not going to get changed on this issue either, so, because I can't make that happen that fast. So we will have a new logo by the next issue, and hopefully a new color scheme, because I'm so sick of that 80s color scheme. It's been blue and magenta, or whatever you want to call it, forever. It's a very 80s. I remember I had a kitchen in those colors, I think, so. So hopefully we can refresh it and make it look a little bit better. Things that seem to be going well with the DCS, so that's working out. As far as I know, we haven't had any issues from Iowa County on that. The first quarter is always lots of end of year stuff. So we've had end of year AFCSP, the final GWAR claim, end of year budget for GWAR. Gears, which I'm still learning and hopefully understanding correctly. So I've got 6 months to figure out the state reporting system. So, and then we'll, so I think we're getting there. The annual report for 8521, that's our transportation programs, is also due. So I just wrapped that up and sent that to finance this week. I'm actually off starting maybe later today and through next week. So I've been trying to get all these end of year stuff. Everything was due on the end of March. So I'm trying to get those all off my plate. I think I got through everything yesterday. So we are reaching out to Greene County, Simons Complex, and a few other places about providing more of that prevention programming again this year. That comes under the health promotion. I also talked with Crawford County. Nicole's got a couple programs. And some interest from Grant County participants. So I told her we'd be happy to do an MOU there as well, because I mean, a lot of our Bagley folks, Mount Hope folks, all of them use, you know, go to Prairie more than anything. So so I think we can work something out there as well. We got evaluations finished up. I guess I didn't say this when we did vehicles. I'll tell you a little bit about the family care contract update. So family care, we finally got the letter. It arrived several days late, but actually we just got a letter the other day from August. It's a check for Elder Fest that just showed up from August. It was postmarked August. So again, my father would be rolling over, but, anyway, we got the family care notice that Inclusive was going with MTM. They encouraged us to attend an MTM town hall meeting regarding transportation providers. It appeared that maybe they were under the impression that contracts had already been attempted with MTM, and that doesn't seem to have been the case. And this is supposed to take place April 1st, the transition. I think MTM's town hall facilitator might have been a little stunned by all the comments that he got verbally and in the chat. About the services that they have experienced with riders through MTM. We have also taken a fair amount of phone calls of riders concerned about MTM. So there has been incidences over the past years where people have gotten left, and that was spelled out in this town hall pretty clearly. So hopefully they'll have it together. It was very clear some counties have really tried to pursue having transportation contracts with MTM and said, we've sent this in repeatedly. We've sent email after email after email. You haven't responded. And this poor gentleman didn't really, I think he was just literally a PR guy. Wasn't prepared to answer the tough questions. Several counties are not pursuing contracts with MTM at this time. I didn't think we should. MTM covers statewide, so unless they unless they come up with a contract that's very, you know, specific to Grant County and surrounding areas, I don't tend to provide transportation, sending drivers all over the place. They also don't want to pay if you show up and that person cancels, then they don't necessarily want to pay. That was some of that was what was coming out. So we had already talked about pulling out of that anyway. I was still working on trying to get the mileage costs for a volunteer escort. I hadn't got that solved, and I didn't want to put in that we were terminating the contract because I wanted to get that extra cent in there, and they didn't want to pay the extra cent. They finally got it through, and then I put in a notice of termination. So the notice of termination actually goes, I put it through the end of May to make it easier on our admin and not pull it halfway through. However, their contract notification is April 1st, unless they can't make that happen, in which case they expect us to stay on. So if that happens, we will stay on through the end of May and no later than that is what I did. So, and we will monitor that. As I said, riders are there. We're getting the complaints, unfortunately, and that's unfortunate because we don't have anything, you know, it's not our call. There's a new family care contract coming to town as well, Anthem. I don't know when they're going to start. And I've heard, I can't verify it, but I've heard they also use MTM. So I think this is just something that, you know, these are bigger insurance companies owning these now. So I think they're more inclined to go with a bigger outfit and say contract individually with counties. We actually had a participant, a rider, come in to tell Mariah goodbye. He wanted to check on Mariah and make sure that she still had a job and was okay. We're worried about it because we, you know, many of these people we've known for years and years and years. They've ridden with our drivers and the drivers know them well. So it's going to be different. I hope it goes well. For the rider's sake, I hope it goes really well. So we still have meals with Inclusa at this point, and that's it. That's all. I'm sure Anthem is going to want us to come back for meals. We'll see. We'll bring those as we feel the need. As always, I push back on family care needs to also have to provide the same nutritional requirements that we do. That I truly believe that. I don't understand why they don't. We're getting several peer place webinars as the state's been, we've had so many revisions to the new peer place database that's happened last year. So we're continuing to get updated webinars on those for reporting purposes. We still have some reports that the numbers, I don't think come out right, but hopefully they'll get that under control. Starting July 1st, our time reporting will be on PurePlace. I was very fearful of that last year. I think, as I told you, I was worried that it would take our numbers down. But Crawford County was part of the region that actually did a trial on it. And Nicole has assured me that it works. And she was skeptical as well. So she has assured me that it does work okay. So we're probably going to do some dual time reporting, which is going to be a little intensive for staff for the first couple of months. But actually, they want to do it as well, just to make sure that they're getting everything reported correctly so we don't miss anything. So that'll make our summer a little more stressful, but they'll get through it. The finance department and I have been working with DOT auditors on the 2019-2020 audit. We just got a refund this past year on the 2017 audit. So DOT is working through the past several years. This is a little challenging when they ask questions because that's in the Springbrook era, not in the Tyler Mutis era. So that'd be interesting. Taxes, they just added a day of taxes, so Platteville will have an extra day on April 6th, I believe, because taxes are filled up in Platteville, so he just added some time there, so that will be good for people to still get in. And we'll get that all wrapped up. We did meet with the wage study consultant. I don't know when that's going to, if you have anything to add to that.
Nothing.
Okay. It's not a wage study per se. I don't know what you call the wage analysis.
Yeah, review of the wage schedule.
So that's all I have on that. Then you've got some program reports in here as well. A couple of the columns you'll see blank. I just put year to date for information and assistance because I was under the gun. I didn't want to pull them separately. So they are year to date. Good work. And then new is DCS. So this is our dementia care specialist update that she does. She's got a lot of upcoming events coming as well. So if you're interested or you know somebody who might be interested in those. And then the nutrition. Courtney and I are really hoping that we've seen our last winter storm for this winter. All day Sunday, it was, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? What's going to happen? Nicole texted me, are you going to pull the trigger yet? I said, nope, not yet. I need a few more schools before I can pull it. So, but I was waiting on Platteville, and then I realized Platteville had spring break. So I couldn't, yeah. That's always the challenge with the March ones is you're thinking you're waiting on a school, and then you realize that they don't even operate this week. So, hopefully that's the last of that. But people didn't miss their St. Patrick's Day meal, I don't think. So hopefully they got that. So there's a few of those meals they always look forward to. So any questions on any of the program reports or anything else? We just barreled right through that. Anything you want to see at future meetings, would you like to have some staff present? I know, I think Haley presented a long time on dementia care, obviously Courtney and nutrition are usually on the agenda a lot. We've talked a little bit about transportation, but if you want more information on the caregiver programs, or if you would like to talk to the dementia care specialist, or even what our INA do, Stephanie has never presented here, so we could do a short presentation on any of that if you would like a little bit more information.
Have the care programs changed much?
Not a whole lot, except from when you were on this way back in the past, we took over the Alzheimer's family care program as well. So they've changed in some ways. That program changed in a good way. They got rid of the income limits on it, which was nice. It was nice for two reasons, because part of the reason I had hoped to get AFCSP was we could use it as match for NFCSP, and then we got it for the 1 year, and then they said you can't use it as a match. Because the feds came back and said, you've got income limits and that's not allowed. Well, it could have been done for a lot of years, but whatever. And so then the state went through, I think it took a legislative act, but they went through and dropped the income limits. So now we're back, we'll be able to use that as a match. So that was good. So it doesn't get us a lot of match, but sometimes I can get, you know, like 5,000, 6,000 out of it. So it's worth it if I can squeeze out any little bit I can. So so that's nice. But pretty much the caregiver programs are the intent is a lot of respite. So like for Alzheimer's, it's like 40% of it really needs to be spent on respite. The rest can be they have a more expanded version of respite, so some of that can include some transportation respite and things like that. In the family caregiver, NFCSP, those are more supplemental services. So, but we still do a lot in terms of respite. But respite, transportation, some adaptive equipment we do sometimes just some consumable supplies for people that have ongoing, you know, trying to care for somebody at home, like Depends or some other things like that. Sometimes it's just getting some more adaptable equipment that helps them keep somebody at home easier. So one of the things you'll notice when, on that budget we did have leftover, we didn't spend out everything in family care. And I knew we wouldn't, we don't get as many requests or referrals as I think we could. So actually we're going to run some radio ads this year. I'm shifting some of our ads because we're not getting them in a congregate. So I'm going to shift them to caregiver. Because we had ARPA money in that budget and we did spend out the ARPA money, but then we didn't spend out our regular because we didn't have any more people. You have to be eligible for it. So they have to meet some, you know, functional criteria, for it. We just didn't have them. Plus we had a few people that just didn't spend out because their situations changed. That's the other thing with the caregiver is they come in and they're using respite, but then the situation gets worse and they might end up in a care facility. So then they don't spend that out. So, but I think part of the issue there is people just don't see themselves as caregiver and they try to keep doing it all themselves in a lot of cases. So, but there is more respite available now. You know, back in the pandemic, we were really struggling to link people up to that help. And I think while it's expensive, she's got a better, you know, she's got a better chance of getting somebody now. And we can do informal caregivers now, which we can do that. So we just need to help a few more people identify. So, and last year we got our first, there is a segment that can be used for grandparents caring for a grandchild. And we got our first one of those last year since I've been here. I don't know that maybe we had one way in the past that I don't remember, but I haven't remembered one in. Seen one in several years, so we were able to do that. And that was a flooding incident when we had all the heavy rains. So we were able to help with some repairs there. So, yeah, but if there's anything specific that you want to know about, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, we would be happy to share that. We do have, after the May meeting here, because usually we're wrapped up no later than 10 here, so I do have Senior Medicare Patrol is coming in at 10:30 on that same day to talk about Medicare fraud, what to look for on your own Medicare charges and things like that, and how to prevent fraud and scams that might be attached to Medicare. So they're going to do a short presentation, I think, from, I should look at my 10:30 to 11:30, and that'll be right here after our meeting. So, and then in terms of aging or Older Americans Act, we've got Grant Regional Dietitian is doing healthy eating and prevention of chronic conditions. That's Lunch and Learn at the Sunrise Apartments. We are doing Medicare 101 here, and then we've got the Medicare fraud one, and then Haley, our dementia care specialist, is doing a brain health event in Montford. Montford has been real interested in hosting more things there at the meal site in their library, so she's doing brain health in May, and then she's coming back in June and doing some memory screening. And then Platteville has memory screening in April. And Muscadet Library also has Booster Brain and Memory, which is a real popular one in April as well. So we have some nice events going on. And if I had a marketing person, it'd be really awesome.
comment with the election coming up. We may see it won't be will affect April's meeting or not till May.
No.
Not till May. But the seed you planted about bringing people, you know,
would be good after that, maybe.
Yeah, I think that would be good because there's probably going to be some new people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, stop.
You're not going to stay?
Oh, ma'am.
After how much you've enjoyed this committee.
Yeah, well, Lester is still on this committee for the April 15th meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, see?
See, you dress well for nothing.
Expect you dress you like this. Yeah.
You're
in
anyway.
Your term is not done until 9:59 on the 21st.
I figured it was done after April 7th election.
No, until the new person is sworn in.
Lester, I got farm bibs. So let's go bring them and wear them and go to work right after the meeting.
I'm going to celebrate right after the meeting. Yeah, I was going to make the adjournment for my last official act.
Now we got to sit here.
We'll just sit here and tell you.
Well, that's all. I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Second to adjourn.
Who's second?
Say aye.
Mark. Thank you.